Well, a very warm welcome again to Amiens Park Chapel. If you're here for the first time, and a special welcome. And we're going to think about God's Word this evening, but I begin with a question. In a sentence, how would you describe yourself? Now, I know that's an unfair question, but how would you want us, if you wanted to, as it were, sum up who you are, you want us to know something more about you, a starting point, so that we could get to know you, how would you describe yourself? Well, how does Jesus describe himself? What does he want us to know? What's his starting point? What do you think? Well, listen for yourself. This is what he says. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus' starting point is that I am gentle and lowly in heart. That verse is perhaps unique. One writer says this: gentleness is virtually the only personal quality about himself to which Jesus drew specific attention. Isn't that interesting? Jesus could have said, "For I am kind, or just, or faithful, or many other things," but he didn't. Yes, of course, all those things are much, much more. But this is something he particularly wants us to know. He says, "Come to me," which raises a question. What sort of reception will I get? Especially as this is Jesus, and I know I'm not what I should be. Well, says Jesus, "I want you to know that I am gentle and lowly in heart. So don't be afraid about the reception you'll get. Don't stand at a distance, but come." And my friend, as you approach the King of Kings, your breath in his hands, the touching point, says Jesus, is his gentleness. What a wonderful invitation. So tonight we're going to think about the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's translated as meekness. So please open your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 12, and particularly to verses 15 to 21. We have them in our reading. And we have four things to say, 4 points. And point number one is simply a question. Now, to who does Matthew pen his gospel? He's writing his gospel to the Jews. And the Jews have a problem. If Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the question, why doesn't he look like the Messiah? If he's the coming king, where's the kingdom, the power, the glory? You see, the Jews were agreed. When Messiah comes, when the Promised One is here, his intervention will be dramatic, explosive, cosmic, public. Everyone will know. Everyone will see. He'll be a great warrior king. He'll stride like a colossus upon the stage of history. And he'll destroy all his and our enemies. And under his reign, death and the curse will be no more. But the end of one age and the beginning of a new, golden, glorious age, the reign of God upon the earth. But as for this carpenter from Nazareth, how can he be Messiah? And so Matthew is writing his gospel to the Jews to resolve in their minds this disparity between expectation and fulfillment, between the Messiah they're expecting and the Messiah who has come. So point number one is simply a question. How can Jesus be Messiah, the promised one, the coming one, the one sent from God? Well, point number two is a question answered. Now, you can hear the sneers of the Jews as we come to this passage, chapter 12. And verse 14, we read, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. And they're thinking, well, what sort of Messiah is that? The Pharisees are plotting to destroy him. So does Jesus destroy them with an awesome display of power? No. He does a runner. What sort of Messiah is that? And it goes on, doesn't it? Verse 15. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all, yet he warned them not to make him known. There he goes again, an alleged display of power, healing everyone. But what happens next? Jesus goes, shh. Don't tell anyone it was me. He warned them not to make him known. Well, who ever heard of a secret Messiah hushing up his identity? It's absurd. Is it? Says Matthew. And so he answers the point between the Messiah they expect and the Messiah who's come. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved one, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. So in answer to this question, Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah. He quotes words that were written 700 years before Jesus came. And he says, this is the Messiah that you should be expecting. Verse 18, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen. Says who? Who's speaking? Says God the Father. About who? About his Son. The Messiah. The servant king. Behold my servant. So don't expect him to be riding in a golden chariot at the head of victorious armies. He's come to serve, to empty his hands, to get them wet and dirty, washing the feet of others. So is it any surprise that he warns the crowds not to make him known? He's not launching a political campaign. He's not the great miracle worker come to wow us all. He is the servant. He comes humbly, quietly. He's got one ambition, and that's to glorify God. And the Father is thrilled. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. The Father looks at his Son and says, I so love him. I'm so pleased with him. And in the work I've given him to do, he goes to that work not alone, verse 18. I will put my spirit upon him. He's Messiah. You see, Messiah means anointed one. He's anointed with the Spirit of God. He's saturated. He's filled with the Spirit beyond measure. And what is this work which the servant has come to do? He's come to make God known, to bring the peoples of the nations back to God. Verse 18, I will put my spirit upon him and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. Justice, the sense of it is to bring in a verdict. Well, someone's thinking, I've no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean? Well, some people say God is. And some people say there is no God. So which is true? What's the verdict? Listen to Messiah. Some people say God is like this. Some people say, well, no, God is like that. Which is true? What's the verdict? Listen to Messiah. He's the one who brings in the verdict. He's the one who makes God known. He says, this is who God is, and this is how you may know him. And how will he go about this work of making God known? Well, perhaps not as we might expect. Verse 19, he will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He's a servant. Servants don't shout. He doesn't raise his voice in anger. He's not aggressive. He's not come to throw his weight around and draw attention to himself. Say, hey, it's me, I'm here, look at me, everyone. Raise his voice like that. No, he's gentle, unthreatening, approachable. Do you want to know about God? Well, what do you want? Do you want a religious nutter who's suffering from some sort of Tourette's syndrome? You've only got to mention the word God and he's off and you can't shut him up. And he's in your face. And he feels like saying, well, you know, next time order decaffeinated. Or do you want someone, when you've got questions about God, who's got a grip of themselves? And you can ask them anything. And they're approachable, reasonable, gentle, and they'll engage with you, and they'll talk it through with you. They won't shout you down, but they'll listen. Well, that's who Jesus is. It's exactly the sort of person I need, isn't he, if I want to know about God? He's the gentle, humble Messiah. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. You think of a reed. It quivers, doesn't it, in the lightest of breezes. It just about supports the weight of a sparrow. But a bruised reed, a broken reed. But then the human race is full of bruised reeds. Do you need to be handled gently? Well, you're safe in the hands of Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. And a smoking flax or a smoking wick. The fire has all but gone out. There's no flame, no heat, just a wisp of smoke. If you blow on it too hard, you'll blow it out. Has your light all but gone out? A smoking flax he will not quench. So do you see how Matthew answers the Jews? He says Jesus is exactly the sort of Messiah you should be expecting. The servant king. And in a world of broken lives, in a world of people laboring under the curse, he is exactly the Messiah we need. Not a religious crank, not a fanatic, not someone who will shout you down and get into arguments with you and jab the finger. He's the approachable Christ. It's not just bringing any subject to him, but you can bring yourself to him. And finally, as you come, he unveils to you the true God. And though Jesus' life will appear to end in failure, nailed to a cross outside the walls of Jerusalem, by that cross, he will secure a glorious victory. So much so that the people of the nations, the people of the world, will come to put their trust in him. That's what the last few verses mean. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. And that's why today there are more believers in more countries than there have ever been. He is the gentle Jesus. He's also the invincible, unconquerable Christ. And at the end of the age, he will be victorious over all. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So point number three. Let's look at his gentleness. Let's look at some episodes of the gentleness of Jesus. Now, we need to say this. There was nothing weak or sentimental about Jesus. He wasn't the sort of pale, feeble, girly Galilean of pop religion. There was no one more manly than Jesus Christ. But his strength was under control. There was no one greater. And yet he is the servant of all, gentle and lowly in heart. So here's a man. He's riddled with leprosy. Have you seen photographs of lepers? Maybe you've even met a leper. This man is absolutely full, riddled with leprosy. So you know what he looks like. He's unclean, untouched, unwanted. If ever there was a bruised reed or a smoking flax, it's this leper. But he comes to Jesus and behold, says Matthew, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Was there anyone in history less fit to approach a king? So what does Jesus do? Well, he does the unthinkable. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Think of this leper, riddled with leprosy. Jesus touched him. Why would you touch a leper? If Jesus can heal him, why doesn't he just sort of heal him at a distance before he gets close? Because that touch conveyed everything and more about Jesus' willingness to heal. When was the last time someone had voluntarily, who was clean, who was non-leprous, had actually reached out their hands to touch this man? Maybe he hadn't been touched for 10 years, 20 years in that way. But Jesus stretches out his hands and heals him and touches him. It's the warmth, isn't it? And the tenderness of a true friend. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. So here's a funeral procession. It's coming out of the city of Nain. And the scene as we watch it is heartbreaking. Because a widow is accompanying the open coffin in which lies the dead body of her only son. And as you look at that widow, the words which probably go through your mind is forsaken. She hasn't got a husband. She's now lost her only son. And she's crying her heart out. And when Jesus sees her, says Luke, we read he had compassion on her. It's much more visceral than the original. It says he was moved in his guts. Jesus enters her world of sorrowing. He enters her world of suffering. He feels for her. And this bruised reed, he says, don't weep. And then he does the unthinkable again. He touches the open coffin. The procession stops. Every eye is upon Jesus. What will he do? And as we watch, Jesus speaks to the lifeless body of this dead son. Young man, I say to you, arise. It's the voice of authority. It's a word of command. And as we listen, we wonder, are there any limits to his authority? Can Jesus even raise the dead? And Luke says the dead man sat up and began to speak. And then Luke adds, Jesus presented him to his mother. Such power. He can even raise the dead. And yet such gentleness. He takes this son and gives it to his mother. What a wonderful scene that must have been. Jesus is not touchy-feely, but his hands do touch and hold and reassure. And his eyes meet with your eyes. And his expression tells you that he understands. But it's more than that, isn't it? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem in a chariot, a great imperial Christ, on a war horse, come to execute vengeance on his enemies. No, he rides on a donkey. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, says Matthew. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. He rides into Jerusalem on a young donkey. Do you like donkeys? We all like donkeys, don't we? They're big ears, they're oversized heads. Their gentle features. They look so kind. We have donkey sanctuaries, and children ride on donkeys. You have rides on donkeys at the seaside. Because there's nothing threatening, is there, about a donkey? Everything about you says you can get close. Nothing threatening about a donkey. And that's how Jesus chooses to ride into Jerusalem. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Do you see, he rides on a donkey. What's the message? Is that he's gentle. He's humble. He's lowly. He's so easy to approach. It's not a chariot. It's not a war horse. You're not stepping back. Here comes Jesus. Everything about you shows he's within reach, within touching distance. And that touching distance will be his gentleness. Even a child can come to this Messiah. And here is Jesus, dying on that cross. And blood is pouring from his hands and his feet, from his brow, from his back. But the drops of his agony are being witnessed by a smoking flax. Next to him is a dying thief, with only hours to live. Nobody wants criminal scum. This dying thief is worthless, useless. Literally, they're saying to him, go to hell. Who wants you? But Jesus says to this dying scum, I'll have you. What was it that the dying thief saw in the face of Jesus during those hours that made him turn to Jesus, turn to the King, and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And the invincible Christ, hanging upon a cross, he answers a dying sinner and says to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Do you see the sort of Messiah he is? Do you understand? Do you really understand? I am gentle and lowly in heart. You see, he's not the Messiah the Jews were expecting. Not a great imperial Christ come to terrify everyone, come to keep everyone at a distance, come to destroy. He hadn't come to destroy or to condemn. He'd come to save. He's the Messiah that I need. And that's why I read, and in his name, Gentiles. We're Gentiles. Gentiles will trust. So we come to our fourth point. And we'll call it simply, come to me. Listen again to the voice of Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let me speak to those of you who are Christians first. Christian friend, are you a bruised reed? Do you shake in the gentlest of breezes? Does the bruising run deep? Maybe this evening you feel utterly worthless. My father-in-law has a simple test to find out whether or not you've got a bad cold or you've got flu. He says, if you look out of the window and you see there lying on the pavement a £50 note, if you've got a cold, you'll be able to get up, go outside and pick up the £50 note. He says, if you've got flu, there's no way you'll get up and get the £50 note. A £50 note works for him. What would work for you? But if you were fit and well, and you looked out the window, and you saw a bruised reed lying in the street, lying in the gutter, would you go outside and pick it up? Would you? A bruised reed? What would you do that for? It's worthless. It's useless. Do you feel worthless? Do you feel useless? You feel you can't build a church out of bruised reeds. And no brother or sister in Christ can ever lean upon me. I'm also some reeds, yeah, you can get a musical note out of them. You're a bruised reed. I can't even be tuned to sing the praises of my king. Are you a smoking flax? Your light has all but gone out. In fact, you've come here this evening, but if you're honest, you don't even know why you're here. You felt at a distance throughout the whole time. You felt almost a stranger amongst God's people, though you know you are one of God's people. Because you feel the light has gone out, and you feel no warmth inside, and fire, far from firing up other Christians, as far as you're concerned, all you're giving off is an offensive smoke. And in a world of strong Christians and heroic deeds, you feel to yourself, well, who am I? A bruised reed. A smoking flax. But Jesus is the servant king. He doesn't carry a whip and say, you try harder, do better. What does he say? He says, come to me. Do you feel you're worthless? He says, come to me. And as you come, what's the touching point? The touching point is his gentleness. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. And those gentle hands will take you, you see, and they'll bear you up. And they'll straighten you. And already as you begin to feel his hands upon you, he'll begin to heal those wounds. And that gentle breath, he'll breathe upon you. And he'll raise that smoking flax into a burning flame so that again there'll be heat and light. Only you must come to him. You know that so well, Christian friend, don't you? And maybe that's it. You've been living at a distance. Been trying to go it alone. You've been fearing the reception that you'll get. But he's so approachable, isn't he? I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Come to me. Nothing forbids you. Don't have to bring anything with you. Get yourself ready. Prepare yourself before you come. When I've got everything sorted out, then I'll come to Jesus. That wasn't how you came into the Christian life, was it? You come just as you are. A Christian doctor was dying of AIDS. In his final days, he could hardly speak. And there was one particular occasion, he was trying to say something, and his wife couldn't understand what it was that he was saying. So he took a notepad, and he simply wrote on the notepad the letter J. So she went through a sort of mental dictionary, all the words beginning with J. And every word she said beginning with J, he shook his head. None of them was right. Then she said to her husband, Jesus. And he nodded. Jesus was with them. He was dying. He could barely speak. He was soon to leave this world, soon to leave his wife. But Jesus was with them. That was all they needed to know. Christ is enough. He is always, always enough. He's all I need, Christian friend. Are you a smoking flax? A bruised reed? And you know what to do this evening, don't you? You need to come to him. Let me speak to those of you who are not Christians. You're unsaved, you're unconverted. Maybe all this is very strange and new to you. You've not heard these things before. Will you too listen to the voice of Jesus? These are words that were written, you think, thousands of years ago, but Christ is speaking to you tonight through his word. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This evening, are you weary and heavy laden? I don't just mean because of the football match or whatever the result was. But actually, you really are weary. You're weary of this life and you seem to be burdened down by so many things. And you really feel yourself to be a bruised reed. So many knocks, so many bruises, so many things that have smashed into you and have left their mark and nothing seems to erase. And you feel you need rest from this treadmill that you're on, and it really is a treadmill of sin, isn't it? Are you disappointed with this life? Disappointed with this cursed world? It's never what it's cracked up to be, is it? And you're weighed down with guilt. So many things you've done, and you carry those things around with you. And are you smoking flax? Well, did you hear the voice of Jesus? He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. His yoke is lined with love. He won't treat you harshly. He won't threaten you. He won't start an argument. He won't shout at you. He won't be a religious crank who just talks and talks and talks at you. And he won't terrify you with a show of strength. He won't shout you down. You can come just as you are and take his yoke upon you. Learn from him. And as you come, you'll find the touching point. This is gentleness. A woman left her husband. She moved in with another man. Was she happy? She thought she would be, but she wasn't. And she later said it was her guilt that was binding her to this man. She wanted to leave, but she couldn't leave. She just felt guilty, and it was all gone wrong. What was she to do? She heard the voice of Jesus, and she came to him. And what did she find? She found the calm of sins forgiven. And the burden of her guilt was lifted from her shoulders. And she found a new power to live by. And she left that man and returned to her husband. Everything was changed. Everything was new. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A woman had an abortion. You can't undo that, can you? What's done is done. But this bruised reed, she came to Jesus. She took his yoke upon her. She walked with him instead of walking alone. And hallelujah, praise the Lord. She found a clean conscience. Jesus made her clean. And those sins, that guilt, that awful thing that she couldn't erase, as far as God was concerned, that sin was now remembered no more. And she found rest for her soul. What of you? What's your personal history? My friend, this is not about therapy. This is about transformation. This is not about relief from your problems. This is about a relationship with God. That's what Messiah has come to do. Carry on as you are, then you will walk that way, won't you? As you're walking now. And ultimately, says the Bible, you will destroy yourself. The Bible says we're sinners. We've broken those two great commandments of love, to love God with all my heart and to love my neighbor as myself. I've never done those two things. I'm a sinner and sinners are punished. The wages of sin is death. Carry on as you are, you will destroy yourself. But if you come to Jesus Christ, come this night just as you are, then you will find that he's just the Messiah that I need. And the touching point will be this wonderful gentleness that will receive me and welcome me and change me and save me and transform me. A girl was into self-harming. And she'd cut herself on both arms again and again. The pastor asked her, why? Why did you keep self-harming? She said that when she was upset with herself or upset with others, it seemed to relieve the tension. It distracted her from her problems. Also the pastor, it's true, blood can solve problems. But it doesn't have to be your blood. And the cutting required has already been done. Because Jesus Christ on that cross, He shed his blood. He died that punishing death that sinners deserve to die. So that all who come to him, and this is the sweetness and wonder and glory and blessedness of the invitation, all who come to him, what do they find? They find forgiveness. Not therapy, but transformation. Not just relief from their problems, but a relationship with God himself. Nothing less, says the Bible, than everlasting life. And rest for your soul. And the girl came, and everything changed. Will you come? Will you come to this same Jesus? His invitation is the same to you, pressed by himself just as warmly. Will you come just as you are? Stop distracting yourself. But hear the voice of Jesus. Come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls.